So the research that we sought to understand was anemone fish, we know, selects their habitat. So when anemone fish are young, the adult fish lay eggs at the base of the anemones, and then the eggs hatch, and the fish go off into the open ocean for about a two-week period, and that's where they do a lot of their development. And then at the end of that developmental larval stage, they come back to the reef, and they have to find a anemone to settle onto and then to live in for the rest of their life. So that decision on what anemone to settle into is a really important decision, and it happens really, really early in the fish's age, I guess. Once they make this decision about the anemone, we were trying to understand if bleaching events happen, like we're seeing in the Great Barrier Reef and Indo-Pacific, can the juvenile anemone fish first detect the difference between a healthy anemone versus a bleached anemone, just based on their sense of smell alone? And if they can detect the healthy versus bleached anemone, will they prefer the smell of a healthy non-host anemone to a bleached host anemone? So the other thing that you have to understand about anemone fish is these are really habitat-specific animals. So not only do all anemone fish live only on anemones, but within the group of anemone fish, they live only on a very select few anemones. So we were trying to see if their host species are bleached, but next to their host species, there happens to be a non-host species that's healthy, would the fish reject their host in preference of healthy habitat, even though it's not really the anemone species that they're programmed to kind of live inside? And what we ended up finding is that fish can tell the difference between a healthy anemone versus a bleached anemone, and they prefer the healthy host anemone over a bleached host anemone. And that makes sense, because if they settle into a bleached host, there could be consequences for them in terms of their survivalship. However, when we give them the preference between a non-host anemone that's healthy versus a bleached host that's not healthy, the fish choose their bleached host over the healthy non-host. So that really shows that they're not very flexible in terms of their species that they're able to live in. And even though there's a healthy alternative potentially right next door, they are so programmed to go to their host species that they don't go to that healthy host.
And the implications of this is that these fish, if all of their healthy hosts are bleached, then they won't have any other healthy hosts to go to because they are so specific on habitats and the specific anemones that they go to.
Yeah, exactly. So if they're all their hosts bleach, they're going to pretty much have to live in the bleached anemones rather than just switching to a different species, because they won't do that.
I'm speaking with Danielle Dixon, an assistant professor of marine science and policy in the University of Delaware's College of Earth, Ocean, and Environment. She recently published a study documenting the effect of anemone bleaching on clownfish. Does this affect more than just clownfish? I know that you were looking at a very specific subset in your research, but can there be more, inferred from your research that this could affect more than just these specific fish?
Yeah, definitely. So the research that we looked at, we assessed five different anemone fish species and then three different habitats of anemones. However, coral reefs are full of really habitat-specific animals. So while anemones and anemone fish have that very iconic symbiotic relationship, the general habitat specialty in coral reefs is really common. So a number of fish species are specific and only live on a certain species of coral, or some of the corallivores will only eat specific species of coral, which makes them really specific too. So the findings of our study, while it is very specific to anemone fish and the anemone relationship, it can be kind of inferred that other habitat specialists, particularly those that reside on photosynthetic or corals or things that would bleach, would be equally as vulnerable to habitat bleaching.
And how serious do you see this on the clownfish as a species? I mean, could it be lead to the extinction of these fish?
For clownfish as a species, I think this is actually a really serious issue. So because of just how specific they are on the anemone species and how required they are to live on an anemone species, they become incredibly vulnerable to bleaching. In addition, clownfish are also fairly vulnerable just because of the ornamental fish trade and all the other stressors on the reef. So there's eutrophication happening where a lot of excess nutrients are running off into the reef environment. You know, temperature, ocean acidification, pollution, all of those factors are sort of extra things that the anemone-anemone fish relationship have to overcome, and bleaching could just be a tipping point for them. I don't think as a whole all anemone fish are going to be at risk of extinction in the near future, but if there are prolonged bleaching events in regional areas and anemones get hit hard with the bleaching that occurs, there could be local extinction that occurs, and that would be really hard to overcome.
Okay, and you have said this is a prolonged bleaching event. Is there any end in sight, or is there anything that could reverse the bleaching of these anemones?
So right now in the Great Barrier Reef, the bleaching event has started to kind of stop. The temperatures of the water have started to go down a little bit, and that's allowing some recovery to happen. But when bleaching happens, and it happens for a longer period of time, the corals and anemones themselves often can't recover. So in the Great Barrier Reef just now, they're starting to assess how much of the coral that bleached is actually now dead instead of will be able to reabsorb some of the algae and will be able to recover from the bleaching event. So that information is just starting to come out for the most recent bleaching event that's happened. And estimates are pretty high about the mortality rate of the corals, especially in the northern Great Barrier Reef, where bleaching was up to 80% of the corals on the reef system.
I know that the clownfish, they were made popular in movies like Finding Nemo, and it was about a clownfish swimming an unknown distance to find another fish, I think his son. But it looks like these fish aren't able to, you know, swim long distances to migrate to cooler water or to different, you know, where there might be anemones that aren't bleached. Is that correct, that they're kind of stuck or in this specific area?
Yeah, so on like an evolutionary time scale, they definitely would be able to start to, you know, probably like in Australia, like migrate to the lower regions of Australia where the water is cooler on an evolutionary time scale. On an individual time scale, or, you know, a time scale of like right now, the fish are pretty much stuck with where they are. So in the long term, we could start to see shifts where some of the upper latitude species in the Indo-Pacific start to move southward where the water is cooler. But the fish right now are not going to be able to move around or swim anywhere at any kind of speed. Clownfish are not meant for long distance swimming. Their body shape, their, you know, the way their fins are made, all that kind of thing. They're definitely not a fish like a tuna or a shark or something that's able to go longer distances.